Against All Odds is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, and so much more. Awesome. New and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use, because it's safe and secure, and because you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Against All Odds so they know I sent you. Take it away, mighty, mighty Boss Tones. All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Friday morning. Yes, happy Friday, spaghetti and meatballs. We're fiddling with the knobs. We have Scott the Grizz Holmes producing this mess to end out the week. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, degenerate trifecta, Harry, Brother Bri, Darren the Parlay Kid. What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Well, it's over, I think. The NBA, I still think they're going to sneak a few games into. They're going to have like some summer league games, and they're going to say, yeah, this is the finals to the finals or something. I can't actually believe it's over, but it is. The Celtics bow out in six. They were looking good. They were up. Wait a minute. Were they not up 2-1? Now I'm confused with whole thing.
They were up
2-1. Every game was a disaster. You couldn't catch a close game with 2 minutes left. You just couldn't. Maybe it was a little entertaining heading up to that. But we won our race to 10. We had the Celtics to score 10 points. Brother Bri tipped us off. This was going to be the last race to 10 of the season. Celtics to score 10 before the Warriors. What was it? 10-2? 11-2, Bri?
They hit a three? 14-2, whatever it ended up.
Great. We took the extra. And then I think they completely fell apart after they hit 10 or 12 or 13. It was really, probably really it was like bad. A turnover fest. You couldn't take your eyes off of it. So many turnovers. I was texting with Harry. I was like, they just don't have a true point guard. And it finally caught up to them. But 103-90, the final. Warriors win. Steph MVP. What was his numbers coming in? Was it plus 135 or a little worse than that going in? They were going to give it to him no matter what. But I think going into the series, he was a slight plus there. I don't know what to say. First of all, the playoffs were garbage. There were no close games. I took advantage of it. I bet the -9.5 almost every game for the last 3 weeks. And it won. It was like 13 out of the Celtics' last 16 that hit. It was 13 out of the last 14 Warriors games. The -9.5 both sides hit. I would have been furious with the NBA guys if I didn't have this bounty to fall back on. It's like someone dumped a pile of manure in my driveway. And I'm like, all right, I could be pissed off or I could grow corn. I don't know. And so I did. And there we are. But Parlay Kid, let's get your thoughts on this series.
Glad it's over. Congrats to the Warriors. They're very fine basketball team, you could say. But at the same time, as a Knicks fan, this type of series and this type of basketball that we've seen here over the last couple months gives me hope to say that even a team like the Knicks, that really not far away, the more we can look at this Celtics roster, we could really look at it and say, Tatum, would you guys say Tatum is an elite player? No, right? He's not elite. Would you say elite?
No, I don't know what to say. I how many are elite? What, 10 are elite? 8 are elite? I don't think he's in there.
He's a very good player. Brown is probably a shade behind Tatum, if not equal to Tatum. Smart is a good role player. You got old man Horford. Williams, who's, he played hard, but they had literally no bench play in this series.
Darren, they had 5 bench points, which is impossible in 2022. 5
exactly.
Bench points.
Darren. Exactly. So my point being, give me 1 second here. My point being, what I've said from the start.
The Knicks are the best team in this. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But it just proves to me they're not that far off. These teams, Sal, this was not great basketball. The Warriors are the class of the league, and I still don't think we've seen this now the last 5 years, right? We've had five different champs, correct? Was that correct, Bri? Well, now, what is it?
Yeah, we had the Lakers, the Raptors, we had the Bucks. Warriors, we had the Bucks. And who was before the Raptors? I got probably Golden State. Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's five. Yeah, it's five. Yep.
Right. So it's just, I don't know. I'm glad it's over. The basketball was not great. It was very underwhelming.
I don't think you're wrong. I think last year, not this past year, but last year's Knicks team with like Jaylen Brown is maybe not what this, not as good as the Celtics, but you're right there. I do want to say this, and I don't know why I'm doing this. I do want to defend the Celtics a little bit. The only defense I could say is the season, we all felt the season was too long. I think it was especially too long for them. They went on that great run. Well, what were they like? 31-5 or something. They were clearly the best team in the East towards the end. They weren't afraid to step up against the Nets.
I agree.
They had a tough series with the Bucks, even tougher against the Heat, who people didn't love, competition wise, but Jason Tatum was good all those series and then just fell up with just no showed, just a different player series in the fourth quarter.
Like
especially.
You said, Sal, how does a team in this day and age advance? Give them credit because they did it basically with like 2.5 players on that roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how I look at it. Like I give the Celtics a lot of credit because technically I don't know how they got here.
Yeah.
Like looking back at their roster, I go, how did they do this?
Right.
They made it to the finals with no inside presence whatsoever. None. Four of the six games in this final series, whatever. When they're clicking on all cylinders, they're a damn good team. But four of the six games, they scored 97 points or less. And, like Sal, you mentioned, Tatum awful in the fourth quarter in the series and turnovers galore, 23 last night. But more than that, Grant Williams had been great in the earlier seasons, was a big threat for Boston. He averaged 4 points a game in this series, and he made a grand total in the whole series of 3 points.
Yeah. Was that a question?
yes. We're going to get
take it for whatever you want. It was bad news.
Robert
by
Hart answer that question. Yeah. Brian, we said it the other day, I don't know. Again, I don't know why I'm making excuses for the Celtics, but if anyone looked tired, if anyone looked spent, it was them. And then you put in like almost 90 minutes of play for Tatum and Brown in these games. It's like, I know.
I think I think you brought up a good point, right? In the earlier series, they were getting like their bench play was actually very good, right? Grant Williams, White, those guys had
Pritchard.
Pritchard and you had some other, and it was very good. And then in this series, I think he realized right away, like, I can't really play. I can't rely. White was terrible. I can't rely on him. Williams was just doing like stupid shit to, maybe draw some charges. He was kind of a pain in the ass that whole series. So now he's relying on just five guys. And now at that point, when you're relying on Tatum and I will say defensively, I give the Warriors credit though. Defensively, they were awesome. Like if you watch it, like Clay, Dre, Wiggins, those guys were, they played, especially last night, as well as you could play defensively. And then you throw in guys like Payton, who may be even a better defender than mm-hmm. those guys. So they really made it tough, and eventually they just wore them down.
But Brian, we're all on the Celtics here, but we gotta give the Warriors credit here. They were phenomenal. I agree. I don't think they were great. Parlick was very careful with his wording. Maybe they're not a great team. I don't know if we want to call this a dynasty, if we mesh this team with the one from 4 or 5 years ago, but they really didn't take two games off. Like Draymond Green, we could get on his case, but he almost had a triple-double yesterday, and the game before was solid too. Wiggins, I love, great player. Any team would be lucky to have him. Curry, it goes without saying. Thompson tailed off a little, but they pick each other up, and we're not even talking. We'll talk about 2023 in a minute. These guys are so young. Jordan Poole, Kuminga, the Wiseman. This guy's been hurt. Who knows what you can get out of him? I don't know. Maybe we'll just go over that now. So we're looking at 2023. Let's do it right now. Warriors plus 460 to repeat. Celtics plus 650. Nets 7-1. Bucks plus 750. Clippers plus 850. Suns plus 950. Heat 15-1. I kind of cut it off there. If you're a believer in the Sixers, which I'm not, or Denver, Dallas, or Memphis to take the next step, go to it. But I really still think it's like three or four teams Harry, that really could win this. Who do you think, Harry?
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned Milwaukee at what'd you say, +750? Mm-hmm. Remember they didn't have Middleton for basically the entire playoffs. Right. So that was a big hit to them. You mentioned the Grizzlies. I think I see them at 19-1. They did a great job this season. They'll be right back in the thick of things too. And I'm just gonna say this at 65-1, Minnesota made great strides. They got two stars and Anthony Towns and Edwards. Gave the Grizzlies all they could in that series. So at 65-1, it's not bad.
Is Anthony Towns, did he drop the Carl? Is it just Anthony Towns now? Is it just going to be Towns in a couple of weeks? You just keep dropping names? Yeah. I didn't know that. Wow,
the Anthony boys. I don't know.
That's a whole team. 65-1,
not bad.
I like what Harry's saying there.
All right, I stopped listening after Anthony Towns, but I'm with you with the Bucks though. I mean, if I had to pick one team, first of all, I think we did this last year at this time, like the day after the finals, and I took the Clippers. So you have to figure what's going to be different right now. Obviously, there's going to be signings that we don't know about, but what are the most substantial differences between this year and next year's rosters that we know about? Now, going into last year at this time, I'm like, the Clippers are going to get Kawhi Leonard back for the playoffs. And so 11-1 is a bargain. I think that's what people would reason about him going in if they took him at +850. I'm not doing that again. I don't know what happened. Everything was slowed down.
No PG-13 a lot of times either.
Yeah, but I'm just saying what do we know? We know Ayton might leave the Suns, but we know. But other than that, I don't, you know, Murray will come back for Denver. What am I missing, Bri or Paulie Kidd? What's going to be different?
So, you know, I know Brian, I think Brian's going to say the same thing as me. The team to me, I think Dallas is a great choice here at 19-1. I think they have one of the top three players in the league in Luka. This trade they made with the Houston Rockets was a phenomenal deal for them to get Christian Wood, who averaged 19-10 last year on a pretty bad Rockets team. But he definitely gives them an inside-outside guy who could do a little bit of everything with a lot of length on that team. I think the X factor for the Mavericks is whether or not Brunson is back with them. If Brunson's back with them, this team is very dangerous next year. They played, you know, they were as good as the Celtics were against the Warriors for the most part. I mean, they really were. So,
right.
I think they might take that next step next year.
Interesting. All right.
Under Luka. I really do. At 19-1, I think that's a really good value to grab right now on the Dallas Mavericks.
I know, but what about when the Knicks max contract Brunson? Then what are you going to do?
Well, look, I mean, if the Knicks end up with Brunson and Mitchell and Donovan Mitchell, you might want to jump at the Knicks right now.
140-1.
What are they, 140-1 or something like that?
Yeah, That's what it is. Meanwhile, LeBron's Lakers, I didn't even mention in the top, because they're not in the top 11 odds-wise.
Yeah, you can't.
12-26-1. Yeah, you don't know what the hell is going to go on with that team. There's so much up in the air, but I will say, I don't know. I know this isn't fun. I'm going to go with, I'll jump on the Bucks at +750, but I talked about those young players for the Warriors. Like I think, and plus with Steve Curry, I think he just figures this out. I think he just does. And if you're staring at +460, I think they're a Final Four team, but Bri, what do you see differently?
I know what Parley Kid's talking about with Dallas, and actually I'm sure Darren also likes Memphis. So like Darren was on Memphis all year long, and Memphis athletically, like they gave the Warriors probably, when you think back, they gave them the biggest fits, right? I mean, I know there was that game they beat them by 50, but another year, I think their coach is fantastic. You know, they make a few little moves here and there. They're super young. So if a guy like Jackson improves more,
I was just going to say that to me, that's the only, I just don't trust Jackson yet for that team. Like there's too many games where you're like, this guy's terrible tonight. Memphis and Dallas. Put money on both of them at 19-1 right now. I'm putting money on them now.
Wow, live bet.
Memphis is the last two games that the Warriors won against the Grizzlies. Easily could have won by Memphis.
Yeah.
They didn't have Morant the whole time either.
Right.
So there you go. So those, I don't know. Yeah. All right. Maybe it's opened up a little more. Again, we don't have any idea what some of these offseason moves will, will yield. But we know Kawhi's coming back. We know Ayton could be gone from Phoenix. It's funny. No one mentioned the Lakers or the Nets. I mean, that is what this playoffs was missing. It was brutal to watch. Honestly, there's no LeBron. There's no Dame Lillard heating up. You know, there's none of that. We didn't really see. Harry, you said the Nets Celtics sweep, by the way, was the closest series in terms of points per game, like the margin?
At 4.5 for Boston.
I can't even believe that it was 4.5. And then what was your other stat? There's another one I couldn't believe because I really didn't think any
87
of them.
Total playoff games.
Right.
87. And what I say, 49 of them were won by 10 or more.
Yeah. Boy, it seems like, well, there was a bunch of that.
56% of the games.
That's a lot.
Won by 10 or more.
I don't know if we'll ever see that again. That's why we should. I'm sorry if you didn't jump on the -9.5. I really didn't. I've been screaming about it for weeks, and now it's gone. And you can't do that with hockey. No team is going to win by 9.5. I can almost guarantee it. You guys said I had Celtics in 7, which was very close.
Yeah,
I was only off by one game and the one team. You guys had three of you guys had Steph for MVP. I guess I had Tatum. I must have because I had the Celtics to win. So good job by you guys. We gave you our 2023 odds. Oh, go to our prop quiz, extrapoints.com/arcade. We held it. We were going to put it out yesterday. But like, well, there might be a game 7 on Sunday. No, thanks, Celtics. You did nothing. Brother Bri, get yourself a gold cap for the summer. You know, yeah. That sun is hot on the East Coast. I know you're going to go to Robert Moses. You want to cover your dome there. You got to put that gold cap on. It's really nice.
We go to West Hampton Beach. We don't go to Robert Moses anymore.
Oh, you don't need a cap then. You don't need it. No. Extrapoints.com/arcade. Figure out the hockey game. Figure out what's left of the U.S. Open. What else is on there? There's some baseball. It's Judge going to keep up his tear, home run tear. Check it out. Extrapoints.com/arcade. I want to look at U.S. Open. What are we doing here? What's it looking like? My guys suck. That was really bad in this. I had Lowry, who's not going to make the cut. And I had Fleetwood top 20. And he's not going to make the cut either, I don't think. You guys are looking good, though. Harry, who do you have?
I had Scheffler. Nice back nine today. He's 3 under. He's right there on the top three.
Yeah, he's top two, right? I mean, only Taron has
top
one.
Top two.
Yeah, I mean that's the second
guys,
best score.
By the way, it's a lot of guys. My Finau looked bad. He last two holes, plus 5, probably not going to make the cut. Cam Smith, Louis O. You mentioned Fleetwood not making the cut. Phil, plus 11. And Hovland today on his front nine, a shot of 42. A lot of guys not going to make it.
Paul Kohler gave us a good bet, right? It was, what was it? He shorted DeChambeau and Woodland. Who did he have over them? I can't remember. He gave us a good bet the other day.
DeChambeau made the cut, though.
He did make it? There you go.
He finished at
Oh, yeah, look at
two.
That, plus two. Yeah. All right. Brian, who'd you have?
Idel Torres. He actually started off terribly yesterday, but he ended up finishing minus one. He hasn't gone yet.
He's even through
he
one.
He hasn't gone yet in round two. I will say this morning, and then I had JT over Rom for the tournament, but I will say this morning I put on Rom to be the round two leader at like 16-1. So he's two back.
All right, I'm going to start.
What do you guys think of Koepka? 67 today, only like 3 back. I mean, he was in a lot of trouble. He was at plus 7 at one point.
I thought
point
he was done
yesterday.
I thought he would make it. And Parley Kid, you have Matt Fitzpatrick.
I have Matt Fitzpatrick. He's 2 under at the end of his day today, so he's sitting in 8th place, really one stroke out of to jumping to 2nd place at this point. So. I don't mind what he's done. That gives me a shot coming into the weekend. But looks like my player parlay to make the cut is down the tubes.
Because of my guy, Lowry. Like
Lowry and Finau are going to be the
Finau
guys.
It
looks like Xander, Zalatoris, and Scheffler have all come into that, but Lowry and Finau was
it's so weird how these guys could fall apart. I was saying on a different text chain, like Victor Hovland, like this time last year, he was like a top 4 golfer, right? It's kind of plus 7 today.
He's had some problems lately.
We saw look at Spieth, right? Like Spieth was great, then he like kind of had like a bad would you say a bad year or two, Harry, where Spieth was struggling
even more.
I don't know.
He was number one in the world for like, what was it? That was probably 5-6 years ago, 2016. He fell to like number 40 in the world.
Very strange.
Up a little bit, but still.
Very strange. And then you got Phil Mickelson. I don't know if the live rule's different, like most shots wins. I'm not sure if the, because he has plays plus 11 and he's going to bow out. You will not see him on the weekend. So
one total birdie, I think, for Phil.
Yeah. All right. So bet all the action on FanDuel. And also baseball season, swing for the fences on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code Against All Odds to get in on the action. FanDuel lets you bet the money line, home run props, strikeout totals, and so much more. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payday with the same game parlay. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now's the perfect time to give it a shot. Just join with promo code Against All Odds and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Hey, I have a same game parlay right there on the FanDuel banner. You'll see my mug there. I won, when we do this, Tuesday, Mets over the Brewers. I crushed that one when Bassett pitched. Today, Dodgers -1.5 over Cleveland. Kershaw, 5 or more strikeouts. Trey Turner to get a hit and under 9.5 total runs. You get over 4.5 to 1 on that same game parlay. Check it out. FanDuel.com/against all odds. Let's take a quick break and we will preview Game 2, Tampa Bay, Colorado, NHL. All right, we have the Lightning and Avs Game 2. This is Saturday night, and then hockey. They just get right onto it. They give them a little bit of a break between 1 and 2, and then it's Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. They do it every other night. That's how we like it as sports fans. Tampa Bay at Colorado. Colorado, 1-game lead, up 1-0, -154 favorite. Tampa Bay, +128. Paulie, kid, let's start with you. I think we all kind of like the Lightning. Harry likes them. I like them. You like them, but you're just going to take them straight up.
Yeah, I'm taking them straight up, Sal. You know, what we saw up until that series against the Rangers where they lost 2 in a row, the Lightning really never lose 2 in a row, yeah. Right? So that happened once. I don't think, try not to make a pun here with saying Lightning won't strike again.
Oh, come on.
But I don't think it happens again, right? So I don't, this Lightning team, they found a little something after falling behind 2-0 yesterday, kind of found their game. One of my really good hockey buddies says, you know, what you got to like about the Lightning is there's no panic in their game. There's no panic. Like they get down. They're very just consistent. They keep playing their game. Right? When was the last time you really saw Tampa get like dominated in a game? Hasn't really happened too often.
I guess the Rangers' first game, but that was maybe 6-2.
I mean,
that
right.
Was it.
You never, yeah. You very rarely, like we said, they never lose 2 in a row. This team is too good. I think this series is going 7. I think it's going to zigzag a lot here.
Yeah.
Let's take the Lightning straight up here, Sal. At I guess it's down from 142, huh? It's down to about...
Yeah, everyone's on it. At +128
so everybody's jumping on it. Yep.
Yeah, we mentioned it the other day, Parlay Kid. Aside from the Rangers taking the first two at the Garden, it had been since like April 8th was the last time they lost two in a row. Harry, you like the +128. Harry Bragg, he wants it at +142. He wants to acknowledge to everyone that he had it at... He had the idea when it was 142.
Stating a fact, that's all. Yep. But listen, I know during the Boston series, I had mentioned the stat that Boston had only lost back-to-back games in like 58 games. Mm. Well, to piggyback off what you just said about Tampa Bay, Darren, never playing two bad games in a row, really. Aside from those two losses to start the series against the Rangers, that was the only time in the last 63 playoff games for Tampa Bay. It's the only time in 63 games they've lost back-to-back games.
Yeah.
And again, in Game 1, Vasilevsky wasn't great, especially in the first period, but he came back strong later on, but still not enough. But Stamkos and Kucherov were very quiet in Game 1 as well. I expect them to do a little bit more too. Braden Point played 18 minutes in his return. He had a point, so he's an integral part of that offense. He's been great the past couple seasons, bringing the Stanley Cup to Tampa Bay. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay, win Game 2 here in Colorado.
For whatever reason, they didn't, I guess they didn't have enough rest, but they started off sluggish in Game 1. I think it's going to be wide open for them. They still started off sluggish, and it's still, they seem to get to 3 goals with relative ease, you know? And they had had the first period they'd been on, they may have scored like 5 goals. I like them over 2.5 -135. You have to look to find this, but I think they're going to get to three goals. This could go overtime. I think it's wide open. Like you said, Bri, you like a lot of scoring in here too.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over six. Look, I do like the Lightning too in this game, but we all can't have them. That's just really bad luck for us
no,
if
you're
we
right.
do that. But I think the Lightning are going to score three or four times in this game. Kemper was, he was pretty shaky in that game. And, you know, the one thing about the Lightning, they found their footing, I think, in game one. They get a lot of high quality chances, right? There's always like three or four really good opportunities to score some goals. So, I it's going to be hard. I mean, unless Vasilevskiy's just so phenomenal, it's almost impossible to shut out the Avs, who've scored four or more goals in seven of their last eight games. So I think this is going to be rather high scoring. And I like kind of like Tampa in like a 4-3 type of game here.
Spaghetti, I know you hate watching this series because they vanquished your Rangers, the Lightning did. But you did comment that it is amazing how they adjust to any style.
Yeah, this game two is going to dictate the rest of the series. If the Lightning win game two, I may just flip flop completely and be like, Lightning are going to win this. And hence, we were talking yesterday and we were kind of saying the same thing. If the Avalanche hold them off in this game too, I may feel like, okay, the Avalanche kind of weathered the storm. The Lightning gave it their all in game one, but, and they may, you know, take a game in Tampa, but I would still say the Avalanche. But this game two, to me, is really going to dictate the rest of the series because they really did morph to their style play. They could score with the Avalanche, and Vasilevskiy, as we know, if he gets into a groove, it's going to be tough to beat, and they have the severe goaltending advantage there. So this game two, to me, is really going to dictate the rest of the series.
And you brought up Vasilevskiy, and I know it's a little different, but one of the finals bets I'm proud of, I took Curry and Tatum, separate bets, to score, have a 40-point game, and their team wins the series. So I had like over 4-1 odds when Curry had the 43-point game and it won. I just think Vasilevskiy is one of these players. Again, Steph Curry can control how many points he accumulates more than Vasilevskiy saves, but I kind of do think we're going to see a crazy Vasilevskiy game. I have 39 plus saves at plus 250, you know, 33 or more in like five of his last eight games. He had 49 against Florida. I think he gets peppered with close to 40 either way. Bri, you said the same thing. Like you give up three goals and it could be a good game still. There's always the possibility of overtime. I just like this number at plus 250, 39 or more saves. Paulie Kidd, you're right there with me. You like both goaltenders to shine a little bit. Or at least
I'm taking both goaltenders here, 30 plus saves at plus 220. We know the Avalanche get their shots off. What's surprising to see, though, is the Avalanche, you know, they're not known for their defense, but their goalies don't get peppered with 40 shots a night. You would think because of their style of play that might happen. That's really not the case with them. But I do think the Lightning going to be very active on the offensive end tonight, as Brother Bri was saying. I think they get a lot of shots through. Kemper is going to have to be on his game. I think both goalies over 30 saves at plus 220, pretty good bet.
So this is in the popular parlay section on FanDuel, right, for the Tampa Bay-Colorado matchup. Yeah, you could get 25 or more saves, 188 minus 188. As Parlay Kid just mentioned, 30-plus at plus 225. 35 or more for both is plus 880. I like this better even than will the game go to overtime, which you get, let me see, what do you get for that? What do you get for that, Bri? Plus 260 or something? Where is this?
Yeah, I mean, that's usually what it is. Is it a little higher now, or is that? Usually that's about right. Upper 200s.
Yeah. So, okay. So the three way. Yeah. So a tie plus 320 that it goes to overtime. But I like this better because you could get, first of all, if it goes to overtime, you're almost definitely going to get it unless it's like a short overtime like we saw. But also, it could be as wide open as we think where you get them just in regulation. So you're getting plus 2.25. All right, Harry, you have a player prop.
Yeah, let's go of the Lightning. Victor Hedman to record at least a point at minus 142. He's been the key cog for the Lightning, especially on the road in the playoffs. Has a point in five of his last six road games and in seven of his last nine. Had an assist in the first period of game one versus Colorado. So Hedman, who's a tremendous defensive player, but also an integral part on that offense, 1 point at minus 142.
All right, Bri, you've had some good luck with this guy.
Yeah, I'm going to take Pelat again over Andre Pelat at over over a half a point at -128. You know, I took this within the last 2 weeks, but Pelat's been on fire in the playoffs. He has 8 points in his last 5 games, has at least 1 point in 9 of his last 10 games, and 13 of his last 16 games. The one thing with Pelat, he might not get a ton of ice time. Like, I think even the last game, he maybe only played 13, 14 minutes, but when he's on the ice, he's super productive, so I like him to score a point again.
All right, there you go. Check it all out. This all goes down Saturday night. Colorado, -154 favorite. What are they for the series? Like 270 or something? I haven't checked. I don't think that's moved much. To win the Stanley Cup, they're -270. The Lightning take back is +230. Cale Makar is leading the Conn Smythe odds at +160. And McKinnon right there behind him. But you get all the action on FanDuel. Now it's time for Sharp Tank. These guys give me their best weekend bets. I'm going to jump on one of them. Maybe I'll jump on all three, but I tend to pick one. We have college baseball. We have a little bit of UFC. Obviously, the Stanley Cup, as we mentioned. We got regular Major League Baseball and U.S. Open. I don't know that you guys would be able to find a weekend prop from the U.S. Open. They're still in the middle of the round two. But Harry, take us away with Sharp Tank.
All right, let's maybe you might go here. You might go with me here, Sal. I'm going to go USFL week of the
USFL.
Regular season.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'm going to take the Birmingham Stallions and the Tampa Bay Bandits under 40.5. Now, Birmingham is in the playoffs, starts next week. So head coach Skip Holtz should probably have somewhat of a vanilla offensive game plan ready. Both teams struggled on offense last week. Birmingham lost to Houston 17-15. And Todd Haley's squad lost 17-6 to New Orleans. Tampa's D held New Orleans, who's in the playoffs, to just 215 total yards last week. And in the first meeting in week four between these two, Birmingham won a sluggish game 16-10.
Oh, I remember.
Well under that 40.5.
All right. So here's the thing with the so they know the playoff teams already, right? There's eight teams, but they already know the playoff. I mean, it's weird to have a meaningless regular season game in the USFL. That's I don't know, it's an oxymoron, but all the spreads are 2.5, 3, 3.5 out of the four, but they know the teams already. They have Birmingham, New Jersey, New Orleans, and Philadelphia are the playoff teams.
The bottom teams stink.
No,
Michigan got no offense, and they turn the ball
playing
over a
for
ton.
Positioning? Like, I think the playoffs, they get home games though, right? It moves from Birmingham?
I think so, yeah, for the playoffs, right?
I think that's what it was supposed to happen. All right. Okay.
Under.
I'll think about that. Bright. What do you like for Sharp Tank?
Yeah, I got last week on the UFC, I got that wrong.
Not Shevchenko. What, who the?
Zhang.
Zhang, yeah.
Right. Then I have her to win by. Oh, no, I've shifted. No, I'm sorry. I got that one wrong too. But yeah, I had Shevchenko to win by KO or submission. And
by
that
KO,
didn't come through. And I went, really close. But I'm going to go back to UFC. I'm going to go to the main event. I'm going to take Calvin Kattar to beat Josh Emmett by points at +155. Look, I really like this fight. I think it should be very entertaining. But I do like Kattar on points. The one thing I will say is when you watch this, both guys will be throwing bombs. And it is a little bit scary to have a decision because these are the types of guys you hear their punches when they throw them. But that being said, Kattar has gone 5 rounds in 3 straight. More than 50% of Emmett's fights have gone the distance. Although he's never fought in 5 rounds, he does have a good chin. So I do think, both guys have great chins. And I thought Kattar against Chikadze in his last fight was phenomenal. I mean, that was by far the best he's fought. So if he can dominate Chikadze in that fashion, I think he beats Emmett by decision.
So you're okay. So by decision, where is it? What'd you say?
+155.
+155. All right. Yeah, it is a little scary, but that it will go the distance is dead even. It's -112 both sides. So, all right. I'll consider that. Parlay Kid, what's your Sharp Tank?
I'm going UFC also, Sal. This card's okay. I think that last
fight. You
got
Cowboy Cerrone in there, Harry. You could pick against him. I know you're a big fan.
Who's he fighting?
Joey Lauzon, right?
Lauzon. Who...
He's just there for a paycheck.
Oh, wow.
Both guys favorite. Have been in the ring for way too many years and way too many fights. They both put up, they're always involved in kind of spectacular fights. I think they've both won Fighter of the Night probably more than a dozen times, or Fight of the Night over a dozen times. But so I was going to go with that. I was going to take Lauzon But I can't. I just can't do it. I don't trust either of those fighters. So I'm looking here, Sal. Albert Doreev, and I could be saying his name wrong. I'm just learning about this guy, but I think he's certainly seems like an up and comer. And he's fighting a guy I've seen fight before in Joaquin Buckley. Doreev is minus 260, but I'm not taking him there. I'm taking him to win by KO, TKO, or submission at plus 130. Watch out for this guy. He's certainly on the rise at this time.
All right. You know, this. I don't know. I just judge by how many names I know in this. It seems like a decent card. Like I've heard of Doreev. Kevin Holland's like the showboat guy, right? That's the guy who like dancing through every fight. Yep. He's a big favorite. We know Cowboy Cerrone. Cotter, yeah. All right. All right, Parlay Kid, I'll go with you.
Under.
Harry, that game, a meaningless USFL game is really...
Birmingham really... doesn't want to get anybody hurt. Run the ball plenty up the middle. By the way, I've watched a decent amount. I haven't seen... This is the last week of the regular season. I haven't seen a rush. I mean, I've watched a little bit here, a little bit there. I haven't seen one carry go for more than 10 yards the whole season.
Really?
So, Harry, you're saying you watch the USFL more than you watch the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl is on ESPN Plus. How's he supposed to watch?
It sounds like it.
There you go. Sorry. Harry, are you going to Hawaii next week or something?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Angie's not supposed to know this. She's not supposed to know that you have an opportunity to go. She should just assume that like every 2 weeks you could potentially
A boys trip, Harry? Is that just going to be a boys trip?
No, he's bringing a bunch. There's a bunch of his cousin's son, his lawyer.
It's his birthday. It's
one of his, lawyer's wife.
Should we take, what's the over under on how many vacations Harry goes on before he goes on his honeymoon?
All of them. I don't think he gets a honeymoon in there.
I'm still working on that, Brian.
Harry, how does this work? You breaking the news to Angie, like, will you wait like 2 days before? Will you wait three or the morning of when you're packing?
Yeah, probably two and a half.
And what do you say? How's it going to sound? I want to hear.
It's going to sound like, hey, babe.
Good start.
Guess what? You're going to Hawaii? I'm like, well, I am, but only because I have to bring Kenna's medication.
This is, is anyone falling for this excuse? Is anyone falling for this excuse? Like, is he keep forgetting to pack his medication? I know he's packing other stuff.
Well, he's got to re-up it, you know, so I got to go pick it up at the pharmacy and then I have to bring it.
But how long is he there for? 6 months? Why do you have to re-up medication?
He says he's going to run out midway through.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Interesting.
And he can't redo it until a certain time period.
Okay. All right. That's fine. But she'll be okay with that, you think?
My best bet is to probably come up bet. With a... Okay. Brian's right.
Are you changing your Shark Tank right now?
If I come up with a honeymoon destination and lock it in... And then tell her afterwards, then it's not so bad.
All right. So what's that going to sound like? Where are you? What's that going to be? I mean.
Manhattan Beach in your basement, baby.
To me, it sounded like, the Footprint Arena. It would have been a nice destination, but you couldn't even get that right. All right.
Well, she was late on that. She screwed me on that one.
That's it. And now you have to go to Hawaii, teach her a lesson. All right. Let's hope that everyone has a safe and sound weekend. Everybody re-up on your medication. Come back strong on Monday. And that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Spaghetti, for Meatballs, for Scott the Grizz Holmes and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal. Thanks so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na.